Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Ben TV. It is deadline day. It is January the 31st, and Liverpool are going to do absolutely no business whatsoever. Thank you very much for joining me today of all days, the day when there's supposed to be news for the football club, the day when you're supposed to make signings, the day if you need midfielders, that it, all your questions and prayers are answered. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid it doesn't look like that is going to happen, and that annoys me, and it annoys you. We are here with the Fan Interactive Show. We've not done one of these for a little while now, to be honest with you. You know what? These are shows that I really enjoyed doing the other week when we were doing them every night, and it's obviously something that we want to get back into. Just let us know if you're in the comments section how you are. Brandon Lee says, afternoon, Reds, from a very sunny South Africa. Even though it's a bit rainy on the LFC front, feel like Klopp can come through with another doubters to believers statement. On the other hand, Scott Davies says, have no fear, I am here. And then just, you know, 746 says season is over then. What have we got here from this one? And then forget about Bellingham. Our biggest signing should be making FSG leave. And what have we got here? I still can't believe we're not going to sign anybody, said David McKenzie. It is a bit true, isn't it? Now, anybody who's lived under a rock for the last few days, I'm just going to give you a little bit of the story so far as Liverpool's January transfer window goes, and obviously where we are up to in the season itself. So Liverpool now lying ninth in the Premier League. We are 10 points behind fourth place with a game in hand. But you've got to be able to win games to gain points on those. So yeah, at the moment we're 10 points behind fourth place. We've now been knocked out of the Carabao Cup. We've been knocked out of the FA Cup. And we've got a Champions League last 16 tie upcoming against the holders, Real Madrid, who unfortunately for us beat us in the Champions League final last year. Recent form-wise, Liverpool have just lost to Brighton in the Cup. We've drawn with Chelsea in the league. We beat Wolves in an FA Cup replay. We lost to Brighton in the league. We drew with Wolves in the FA Cup. We lost to Brentford. We beat Leicester. We beat Villa, and we lost to City in the Carabao. That is our last few fixtures since the World Cup break. We've won 3, drawn 2, and lost 4. Since returning from the mid-season break, and Liverpool have only signed one player in this January transfer window, and that player, of course, is Cody Gakpo. Now, Cody Gakpo, right? A signing that, by all accounts, according to Chris Bascom, writer for the Telegraph here in England, he put it out yesterday, actually, and I've got this up on the screen in front of me. And we're talking now about Liverpool's midfield, of course. And I know we're talking Cody Gakpo, but let me just bring it all together. So, rewind to the final week of last season. The Champions League final build-up was dominated by injury concerns around Fabinho and Thiago because of the backup players, Naby Keita and Ox, were not playing at the required level. There was a misplaced anticipation that they would be corrected before the start of the season. Instead, Liverpool made it clear as early as June that midfield reinforcements were not on the agenda for the summer of 2023 after losing out on Tchouaméni to Real Madrid. Now, if we come back from the screen, we can continue this in a little bit. So what Chris has basically saying there is probably the perspective of fans and people outside the football club was that Liverpool would have those midfield reinforcements because of the injury problems that we've had to the likes of Naby Keita and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, the fact that we've had an aging James Milner and an aging Jordan Henderson in the squad, and Thiago's not getting any younger either. In fact, probably one of the only players who was a decent age for a midfielder in the Premier League was Fabinho, whose form since then has obviously fallen off a cliff, unfortunately. We then decided, because of injuries early on in the season, that we would sign Arthur Melo on loan from Juventus. And that kind of backfired because no more than 6 minutes of game time later, maybe, Arthur Melo has an injury and is out, and we've not seen him ever since. What that's meant, I believe, is that Liverpool's midfield has struggled. I think it's struggled for a few reasons. I think the legs in the middle of the park, as I'm sure everyone will agree with, aren't quite there. I think Fabinho's form has fallen off a cliff. Jordan Henderson's not the player that he was. Thiago is a one-man band at the moment, but a one-man band that's covering all kinds of ground. And probably the last couple of games, his passing probably hasn't been there either. He's probably playing too many minutes himself. Naby Keita is being forced into the last three starts, and a guy who's probably body you don't... trust, but a player that you do trust when he's on the ball because he's absolutely superb. It's just how long can he do it for? We've obviously got the injury concerns around Ox, and Curtis Jones isn't hitting the form that he did a couple of years ago, and Harvey Elliott quite hasn't adapted to the field position as well as we thought he might. In fact, he's played the last couple of games from wing positions, one on the right, one on the left, etc., etc. And that brings us back to where are you going with Cody Gakpo on this, Chris? Well, let me tell you, and this is what caused a little bit of air on Twitter yesterday. Let me just see if I can find it. So according to Chris Bascom, and we can go back to the screen now, Gakpo's availability changed the plan as Klopp determined pressing from the front would help his midfield and defence. There is justification to the argument that the absence of Luis Diaz, Diogo Jota and Roberto Firmino has had a knock-on impact on those playing behind them. And Gakpo had his best game since signing on Sunday. He is a long-term investment, but his arrival has done nothing to fix the here and now of the midfield malaise. And I think that sums it up quite well. So I think what Chris is trying to say is that, look, Klopp decided that the pressing from the front was nowhere near as good as what we've seen. And that's without the likes of Bobby Firmino, obviously the Sadio Mane left, and Luis Diaz injury, Diogo Jota injury, Salah can't do it all on his own, and again, he's getting older. So we've decided to put Cody Gakpo in there and hopefully save ourselves a few quid down the line, because Klopp, when we signed him in December, I know we obviously signed him on the 1st of January, but it was quoted in December, again, in one of Chris Bascom's articles, actually, that he actually felt like now was the time to buy him before he became a 40-goal-a-season player, and therefore... we would have to spend much, 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 much more money on him. I don't think it's quite worked out like that. The plan might have been to get him in and get him pressing and all that type of stuff, and then the midfield looks a little bit better. But the fact that the last two games we've literally sacrificed the high press in terms of a mid-block would suggest that either he's not at the level yet or that he can't do it. And I would hope to think that it's the former, that he's just not at the level yet. Liverpool's pressing system is very, obviously, very difficult and takes a long time to learn, all that type of stuff. But what it does mean is that, unfortunately, Liverpool have been left shy of numbers in the middle of the park. Let's have a little look at one of the comments here. With Ox and Naby going in the summer, we need at least three or four midfield signings. Hendo and Millie can't be relied upon for two games a week anymore, and Jones just doesn't look ready. We're muddled, said Dave. And somebody who's disagreeing to what was just said, I mean, Griffith says, "Lol, we were crap with Diaz." Fit people forget that we dropped points with Fulham and Crystal Palace and got humiliated by Napoli and United. Well, yeah, I mean, was the Fulham game the one where Diaz basically single-handedly tried to get us back into that, to be fair to him? But I mean, you are right. I mean, we weren't great at the start of the season. I think we would have thought maybe with the likes of Luis Diaz fit that we'd actually have got back into things at the moment, or into some kind of form. But we didn't, unfortunately. Gareth Grealish, but Cech has just shown how much legs in midfield is needed. It shows that Fabinho may be past it now. That's the one thing. I mean, I've been saying for a few weeks now that I don't think Fabinho's quite past it. I think, you know, when you put a couple of people around him and all that type of stuff, maybe we can see a better Fabinho. I was talking out my arse there, wasn't I? Because I think right now it looks like Fabinho is kind of done and dusted. And that's mad, because it's an all-time drop-off if that is the case for Fabinho. It's just mental how much he's dropped off. And maybe it's got something to do with he's just had a newborn kid and all that type of stuff. But you just got to get on with it, haven't you? It's part of life, like, you know what I mean? You just get on with it, mate. Get a nanny. Make sure you're not getting up for them midnight feeds and get yourself back into some kind of form. And I think probably part of the problem was that he had no rest. We couldn't take him out the firing line. And it's only recently with the emergence of Stefan Bajcetic and the trust that we've shown in Stefan Bajcetic that we've actually been able to give him some rest. And maybe he'll be better for that. But judge him by what happened when he came on the other day. Lad's head's gone. Big time. Lad's head has gone. Let's see if I can find some more comments to go through. John Egan makes a good point, actually, to be fair. This car crash has been 3 years in the making. And I think what's so infuriating for me right now, and why I agree with John, is that I think the planning here has gone by the wayside, and there's multiple or a multitude of reasons for that. One of those reasons for me is that, you know, we didn't strengthen from a position of strength when we won the league, when we won the European Cup. We didn't strengthen enough back then. Now you just have to look down the road at Arsenal Football Club now. We've hit the top of the Premier League and are looking at signing players. Look, they're in for Caicedo. They've made £70 million bids, if you believe that. It looks like they could be doing all that type of stuff. They're looking at Declan Rice in the summer. And they are. That is exactly what you need to do. You need to strengthen from a position of strength. And Arsenal are taking advantage of Liverpool and Manchester City's downturn in form. They're upturn in form as well. The fact that they're playing good football, the fact that they've got a manager that players who probably want to play for because he played at a high level and did good things in the game and learned from Pep Guardiola and is looking like he's building a proper side down there at Arsenal. And that is what Liverpool should have done. And instead, what Liverpool have done, unfortunately, is we've lost the man who's got or many of those signings that made us compete at the very highest level in Michael Edwards. We've let him go out the door, and then there's a succession plan there, isn't there, with the likes of Julian Ward. And Julian Ward comes into the job, you know, he's been trained and he knows exactly what Liverpool is about and how we're supposed to do it. He's been there for the best part of 10 years, and he's ready and primed. And listen, there is always going to be, you can't mitigate a change like Michael Edwards leaving Liverpool Football Club, but you can mitigate the damage a little bit. You're not going to have Michael Edwards in charge, but you're going to have a lad that he's trained up and all that type of stuff. But not for a second, though, I think, because of human nature, that at any point Julian Ward isn't going to change the transfer plans because he's his own man. That is human nature. You might just go, oh, well, we'll do that instead of what they were planning. That's absolutely fine. We've got no issue whatsoever with doing any of those types of things. What then happens is Julian Ward leaves. Now, the rumours are Liverpool aren't going to replace him until he leaves, so this time there isn't going to be a succession plan. But what this means, these changes behind the scenes do affect Liverpool moving forward. Maybe more power is given to the likes of Jürgen Klopp, and Jürgen Klopp then decides what to do. And maybe a midfielder was, look, I want to sign this guy. I think we can fix the pressing like this. And you've got to give the manager, he's got the credits in the bank to be able to back him. But right now, it doesn't look like it's working, doesn't it? And that's, I think, the problem for me. I'm going to go into some of the comments. We need players, Chris can pronounce. Says Quadbots. Indeed, we do. Indeed, we do. Let's have a look at this one. Klopp needs to approach this as he is back at day one, says John Egan. Absolutely. And then we've got Julian Ward, who says Liverpool is in such a mess. I worry where we'll be this time next year. Yeah, tough man. And then we've got here, Ayman Bensadia, why the owners decide not to spend? Why? And that's the $64,000 question, isn't it? Why haven't Liverpool spent on a midfielder? And we'll maybe come to this a little bit later on in the show. Got a bit of a running order that I want to talk about with each and every one of you. So I think next is a move that could happen today, to be quite honest with you. I think Nat Phillips looks like he could be going out the door. There are a number of clubs that are interested in Liverpool's fifth-choice centre-back, Nat Phillips. Southampton, Bournemouth, Benfica, it's all attempted loans, all attempted moves last summer, but the Athletic's James Pearce has now reported that Galatasaray are leading the chase for the 25-year-old, despite clubs from the Bundesliga also making contact. Phillips is said to be open to the idea of making the move to Istanbul, with front runners Galatasaray top of the Super League. It is claimed that there are three options when it comes to a deal: with a permanent transfer, a loan to buy deal, and a straight up loan, all up for discussion. And I think this is probably why we recalled Reece Williams from his loan at Blackpool, isn't it? just a few days ago, because I think Liverpool have probably thought, you know what, with Nat Phillips going out the door, maybe Reece Williams comes back in, takes his place there. Maybe there's probably a little bit of trust that Virgil van Dijk's coming back sooner rather than later, and maybe that injury isn't going to linger on and hopefully get re-aggravated and all that type, hopefully not get re-aggravated and all that type of stuff. So this one kind of makes sense for me. I think there is a point actually to be made around how Liverpool at the moment seem to be heading to a bit of a sticky situation in terms of homegrown talent, don't they? Liverpool right now registered 7 homegrown players. Nat Phillips was obviously one of them. I think Cueven Kelleher will have been one of them. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain will have been one of them. Jordan Henderson, James Milner. Who else would we be there? We did this the other day on the show. There's 2 more as well. But Nat Phillips, oh, Joe Gomez is certainly one of them. Trent Alexander-Arnold will be the 7th. Now, you can obviously register 8, and if you register 8 homegrown players, you get to register 25 players in your Premier League squad. We registered 23, but we had youngsters, the likes of Bajcetic and Harvey Elliott and Carvalho, and that's probably it, maybe. There's probably a few more that didn't need to be registered for the Premier League because they're under 21 years old. So that's fine. So we've still got, we had that 23-man squad, but we had the ability to probably play about 30-odd, maybe more if you want to include youngsters who haven't got a chance of making a first-team thing. But Liverpool in an ideal world with 63 games last season, hopefully 63 games next season. Phew, that would be nice, wouldn't it, if we can get back to those levels, although I am absolutely dreaming now. It would be nice for Liverpool to have the required number of homegrown players. Now, homegrown players come with a tax, obviously, a big fat 15 to 20 million on top because they are homegrown. But that, I think, is why Liverpool have been linked with the likes of Mason Mount. Yeah, it is. Anyway, let's have a look at this one. LFC Malu, we should have sold Phillips after the 2021 season, in my opinion. Got cash in opportunities at the height of their value. You know why? I can totally understand that. We really should have. Sukbeer says, starting to think that Manny leaving is the one main reason we've dipped so much. He helped us to defend from the front with the new players not doing that and used to scoring goals, which they are not. Manny was an interesting one, isn't he? Because he was the catalyst and he was the first signing through the door of this incredible Jurgen Klopp side that went on and won everything in football that they could win, eventually being crowned champions of the fucking world. Manny was the first one through the door and he, for me, epitomised everything that Jurgen Klopp's side should have been. And the point I think I was going to move on to was that, yes, he helped us lead from the front. Yes, he was a brilliant winger, but it was his adaptability to be able to play up front at the end of last season that really drove us on when Luis Diaz came into the football club. And that right now is what we're crying out for, isn't it? That fella who can score a goal a game and just maybe have one or two opportunities and get the ball in the back of the net. You know, Nunes seems to need about 5 opportunities and isn't quite as adept at putting the ball away as we'd maybe hoped. When we all watched him as soon as Liverpool signed him, we went back and watched those Benfica games and the games that he played against us, and we all did our own scouting sessions on him. His finishing looked absolutely fucking lethal, and he's come to Liverpool and his finishing looks absolutely fucking shit at times, although that being said, he gets into absolutely wonderful positions as well. But yeah, it's just a little bit frustrating sometimes, isn't it, when you do all this homework on somebody and they come in and they're maybe not quite as good as you thought they were, but he's a young guy and I back him and he's absolutely nuts on the football field and he gets those chances and opportunities. So I do back him, I really do. Let's see if we've got some more stuff going on over here. Midfielder we want isn't available this window. It's that simple, says Toby Lerone. We'll come on to that a little bit later. I say I've got a couple more things to talk through. LFC Durban, says Joe Gomez should be allowed to leave and not Phillips. Joe Gomez has been in decent enough form, I suppose. You know, the fact that he's versatile as well, I think, is important when you're thinking about the Nat Phillips and the Joe Gomez thing. Now Phillips can play centre-back. Joe Gomez can at least cover Trent Alexander-Arnold as well, which right now it looks like he needs to do because Calvin Ramsey doesn't seem to be anywhere near the first team, does he, because of injuries and stuff. I'm going to move on then to Luke Chambers next, who is set for a Kilmarnock loan. The homegrown team will just spend the rest of the season in Scotland. It's done and dusted now. Homegrown academy player Luke Chambers has joined Kilmarnock on loan for the rest of the season. The 18-year-old defender has been with Liverpool since he was 6 years old. Over the summer, he signed the first professional contract with the club. So their left-back, Ben Chrisen, will be likely out for the rest of the season with an injury, so Chambers is expected to slot right into the team. Good opportunity for Chambers to get playing time for a top team. And one more, we've got a little clip here actually that I want to go to. I should have gone to it just slightly earlier actually. But this is a little bit of something from Ian Doyle, Liverpool Echo writer, on Ben Doak and Bobby Clark.
That might happen is if they decide someone like, because they're at the FA Cup now, they decide someone like Bobby Clark or Ben Doak, and they go, right,
yeah,
you get yourself a bit more senior experience, go off to this particular club. And for those two, I'd be looking at top half of the Championship, because I think both of them are very good, and I think they're going to have a part to play for Liverpool in the senior scene for quite a few years to come. We've seen what's happened with Bajketic this year. Once you get in and you do well, Klopp's the kind of player who, as manager, sorry, who showed with all the way back with Trent Alexander-Arnold that if you get in, you're good enough, you're staying in.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think certainly someone like Doak and Clark, to a lesser extent, says you've seen a little bit of Clark and he has impressed. But Ben Doak, he is somebody who's crying out. He's just sort of plug and play, ready to go for first team football. And I think a Championship loan, if he was to get one, would be a wonderful move for him. Because like you say, out of both domestic cups now, we're not likely to see a lot of him. It'd be minutes here and there. He's not going to start, you wouldn't imagine, a single game. So yeah, I think a loan for him would actually be a really smart move.
So there you go, straight from the horse's mouth. It could be that the likes of Ben Doak or Bobby Clark maybe make moves today. I've not seen anything this morning when I've been looking into the news stories and stuff, as far as anybody who's actually interested and stuff. The Ben Doak one would surprise me, though. But that's from our JNO Insight show with Ian Doyle yesterday, available on Redmen Plus. There's so much stuff going on Redmen Plus at the moment. Expert insights, JNO insights, deep dive, extra deep dive shows, which we're also putting out on YouTube. There's so much stuff there at the moment, and you know, it's nice to get away from the buzz of Liverpool and just find out what the meat is of each of these stories, and listen to these actual experts talking. Makes a big difference from just opinion. So next story then, potential loan deals to be done maybe today. So are Liverpool looking at midfield loan deals? Well, I'll tell you one man who thinks it's a possibility. The Mail, Simon Jones, is suggesting that Liverpool are looking at some top clubs in European football. So the likes of Juventus, Paris Saint-Germain and Atletico Madrid could be hunting grounds with a loan sought to add their numbers in midfield. This cannot be taken as fact, though, and it says there, you can see it, as fact, despite and because of the deadline they deal to bring in Arthur on a season-long loan from Juventus in the summer. That means that we literally can't sign another player from Juventus. So Simon Jones there is talking out of his anus. But it could be an option for us. I mean, it didn't work out particularly well last time out for us with Arthur, did it? I'm not going to say that one went down a treat. I mean, imagine if the lad comes in, though. Just imagine if he comes in and he's absolutely fucking superb. I mean, how good would that be? The chances of that happening. Oh, man. It's difficult right now being a Liverpool fan, isn't it? It's like it's supposed to be the stuff that we look forward to, the hope, the glimmer of joy at the end of each week. You know, you can guarantee the Reds are going to get you 3 points and play well. That is so far from the truth right now. In fact, the games are fucking horrible because you know we're probably going to get beat. I mean, who had this feeling when Sean Dyche was announced at Everton? Oh, fuck off. Does that mean that Dyche is going to do a number on us? Did anyone else have that feeling? That was the first thing that I thought. And I got WhatsApps about it and everything. And you just know they've written it in the fucking stars, haven't they? That Sean Dyche is going to come in and shit on Liverpool with one of the worst Everton sides you've ever seen. Because that's what will happen. That's what it feels like. The world is just tumbling down on us right now. Liverpool, why didn't you just sign the midfielder? Liverpool, you've got like, come on, you've got 12 hours and 34 and minutes. 40 seconds. Can you just sign a midfielder, please? Liverpool, we're desperate. We need a midfielder. Come on. We need a midfielder, man. Jesus. Yeah, absolutely, Nay. Who just says, low blockers to death, which I can totally understand. Totally understand. Yeah, okay, well, we'll move it on then. Got another story coming up for you right now. And this one is Conor Gallagher being linked with Liverpool. Okay. I don't really believe it myself, to be honest, but okay. So according to the Boot Room, Liverpool are keeping an eye on Chelsea midfielder Conor Gallagher on deadline day, despite Jurgen Klopp insisting no signings were due. Yeah, okay, so Jurgen Klopp's literally said, we're not going to sign anyone. But the Daily Mail have suggested that Gallagher is a player Liverpool like. Okay, so let's look at what the Daily Mail said. What they want, midfielders. Priority is to sign Jude Bellingham for Borussia Dortmund in the summer and Matheus Nunes of Wolves. Also like Chelsea's Gallagher and Brighton's Caicedo. Right. So are we going to sign Conor Gallagher here? Because it doesn't sound like it. It sounds like we like him. I'd be very shocked if we went for Conor Gallagher, to be honest. It sounds very Everton or Newcastle, that. And I can't imagine that Chelsea would want to sell him to us anyway, but then I can't imagine they'd want to sell him Mason Mount either. There is absolutely no way. I will eat this hat or a portion of this hat if Liverpool sign Conor Gallagher today. Or attempt to eat this hat, or attempt to eat. I'll take a big bite out of my own hat. My own hat that I bought in Las Vegas when I went to see the Las Vegas Raiders against the Arizona Cardinals on the first day of the NFL season this year. If anyone's wondering why a Minnesota Vikings fan is wearing a Vegas hat, this is why, because I went there and it was a souvenir. No one was wondering anyway, I'm sure. Let's have a look. Live a bird.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Anyone will do. Gallagher runs and presses for days. He looks like an okay player. I mean, I'm not sure he's brilliant or anything, but he's okay. He's okay. Darth Sidious. He massively impressed me when he played for Palace, and there's not many in the league with as much energy as him. Completely agree. What have we got going on here? Chris, Ball Street deadline day, please. Stream, please. Fake player rumour will give us a bit of joy. Ha, ha, ha. I think we've done enough fake player rumours. We're literally not signing anybody. We're not signing anybody today. So anything that is linked with Liverpool is fake. Fake, 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 fake. And this probably brings me on to the Nunes and Bellingham plan for the summer. And I'm going to play you a couple of clips from Florian Plettenberg, who works for Sky, journalist, covers German football and stuff. So have a little look at this and we'll discuss it when we come back.
Nunes, this is one you tweeted about, obviously a Wolves player now, and you tweeted earlier on in the summer, I think it was August, about Nunes. And Liverpool being interested in signing him, along with a few other clubs. Obviously, he ends up at Wolves. How do you see his future now? Because there have been reports in recent weeks that Liverpool have kind of done the groundwork on a deal for the summer, potentially for him.
It's good that you asked me about him. I got a text message 2 hours ago, and in that text message, I got the confirmation that Liverpool is, for sure, it's an interesting club for the player, for Nunes. But I also hear that it's not concrete with Liverpool at this stage. Sure, they have to have other candidates instead of Bellingham for the central midfield. And I'm convinced that Nunes is one of them. But as I said, they would do, they will do everything for Jude Bellingham. And if they pay him, I don't expect they have the money for one more player in the range of, don't know, 50, 60, 70 million. So Nunes is a potential candidate for sure. But if you ask me now, I would say it's not hot right now. Hear from Liverpool that they are very, very optimistic to get him. They had talks with him, with his management or whatever. And I heard that Julian Ward is one of the guys who's pushing for him. By the way, that's his task at the moment. But I have the confirmation and the exclusive that there were no talks between Klopp and Jude Bellingham so far.
Yeah, that's interesting. Liverpool, I mean, every single fan certainly wants Jude Bellingham. He's a wonderful talent, like you said. You also mentioned in the tweet that Liverpool have offered him the chance to become the new Steven Gerrard. Just how do you envisage that sale sort of happening? Like, do you think Liverpool are offering the freedom in midfield that we can build a team around you? Is it that sort of thing?
I know, and that's my information. Jude Bellingham is the top target for Liverpool in the summer. And I have tweeted it month ago because I had that info around Jurgen Klopp, and Jurgen Klopp is intensively pushing for that Jude Bellingham player. Mm-hmm. And I have been told that he is one of the key figures in the future. They want to build the midfield around that Jude Bellingham, but it's not easy to get him. And as you know, Jurgen Klopp has a lot of tasks within the team. It's not easy.
So there you go. That was Dan Clubb talking to Florian Plettenberg a couple of weeks ago about Mateus Nunes, of course, and Jude Bellingham, which has been the name on Liverpool's lips now since Mbappe wasn't. So where do we stand? This is where it all sort of stems from, really, and the crux of this show is all around the midfielders, isn't it? And Liverpool right now don't look like they're going to be signing a midfielder at all. And LFC Marlou, apologies, says, riots if Bellingham doesn't come. By the way, we've essentially thrown away a whole year for nothing in that case. And this is what it comes down to, doesn't it? And this is it. Liverpool need to sign Jude Bellingham. Liverpool, I think, need Champions League football if they want to sign Jude Bellingham. Liverpool, maybe the way that they're acting, it seems like they don't think we need Champions League football to get Jude Bellingham. And that would surprise me, a player of his quality, not wanting to be in the Champions League. But maybe if Liverpool think that they can get him, it's about the long-term vision of the football club. And of that, I think we can be sure with Jurgen Klopp at the helm, we're okay. You know, hopefully this season is just the dip. But on the Mateus Nunes one, obviously that couldn't be a January signing as well, because he's obviously played for two football clubs already, and UEFA regulations mean that he can't play for three in a season, yada, yada, yada. So this looks like these are the two deals that Liverpool are trying to get done in the summer. Jude Bellingham, Mateus Nunes, and pair him with maybe a Thiago or a Bajcetic, or hopefully if Fabinho maybe gets his form back or whatever, who knows. But I think Marlou's right there is that we kind of look a bit stupid if Jude Bellingham goes somewhere else. And, like, you know, it doesn't bother me if people want to call Liverpool a banter football club. Liverpool is the most successful side in English football, the biggest side in English football, and we're not a banter club. Banter clubs don't win European Cups at the regularity that Liverpool Football Club do. Banter clubs don't win trophies with the regularity that Liverpool Football Club do. Banter clubs are the likes of, well, I'll let you fill in the blanks there, but maybe another one over the park in Liverpool. That Liverpool is certainly not a banter club, but it will feel like Liverpool have made a massive fuck up if Jude Bellingham goes somewhere else, because it feels like we've put all our eggs into this basket, and I don't know whether we're going to get him. I mean, it's a huge amount of money, and I think a lot of Liverpool fans that I'm speaking to right now would just rather sign somebody who improves the side today, because I don't want to watch Liverpool play the way that we've been playing over the last 4 weeks again for the rest of this season. Time and again. Crap midfield. I just want Liverpool to sign a midfielder. And if that means that we maybe don't sign Mateus Nunes in the summer, then so be it. Like, get somebody through the door, but it doesn't look likely, and Liverpool plan might be better than my plan, you know, but I just don't feel like I just don't feel like we're going to get it done. And then I don't know whether it's because we've heard the Mbappe thing for 2 years and, you know, there's always lads that we're linked with for ages and ages that we don't get done. Maybe Liverpool know something we don't, and hopefully Liverpool do know something we don't. But the plan is clearly Nunes and the plan is clearly Bellingham. And do we trust in the plan? Or because of Liverpool's form right now, do we not trust in the plan? I want to trust in the plan, I really do, but I also don't want to sit through watching us play shit for the next 3 or 4 months at the same time. I mean, we've got numbers in the middle of the park. Everybody knows the lads that we've got available, but are the lads that we've got available good enough? That's the question. I don't know. I really hope Liverpool do sign Jude Bellingham. I think everybody's in the same boat there, aren't they? I'd like Liverpool to sign Mateus Nunes. I know some people are up on him and some people are down on him and whatever, but it seems like we're just putting too much hope on a couple of lads and one lad, really. Let's have a little look at this comment there. What have we got here coming in? The plan is agonising, says Gareth. And then we've got one from Mikey. He says, I'm more concerned about the business we've done than the business we aren't doing. The last two signings, Arthur Melo and Gakpo, don't feel like Klopp players, feel like an Edwards left. They've got no clue. That's an interesting one, actually. The Melo one, I think, obviously, if you think that Liverpool are going to get it done and you think the injuries aren't too bad and you think that the Fabinho's a dip in form and Jordan Henderson's a dip in form, then I can rationalise the Arthur Melo signing. The Gakpo one feels like, you know, right, Sam, same as Diaz. You're looking for him over there, Manchester United. Right, we'll have him over there. We're a bigger club than you. We'll nick him, even though we're not playing quite as well as you this season so far. I understand that. And Gakpo does have the feeling of a, to me, of a Klopp player. He hasn't hit the ground running like I would have wanted, don't get me wrong, but we're 3 games in or something, aren't we, into his Liverpool career, and he's played left wing, he's played centre forward. It's a difficult one for him. I will hang my hat on the fact that he played much better last time I was against Brighton than he did against Chelsea. And he plays across, if he wants to move to a 4-3-3 formation, he can play across all three positions. If you want to move to a play in a 10, he can play the 10 and the forward positions as well. So he does feel like a Klopp player. The versatility is there. He's tall, he's quick, he's tricky, he's technical. Maybe not as strong as I would like. But yeah, so I suppose that answers that. Les Corlett says, we should have had McAllister and Tielemans already through the door, and that would have been an interesting one as well. You can see the bits that Brighton are doing now, and McAllister obviously a big part of that, and Tielemans a good player as well. Let's have a little look at this one then. Amin says, United sends so many workhorse players without Champions League football. Players are not going to turn us down with no Champions League football as long as we offer them attractive wages. It's a very interesting point, actually. Not really considered it from that standpoint today. So yeah, I completely agree with that. And let's see what we've got here. Toby says he's versatile, which is more important for me. Absolutely agree with that. So there we go. Yeah, I suppose that's kind of it on the Nunes and Bellingham stuff. I suppose the next thing to do really is maybe just have a little look around the league and see what's happening. So obviously we've been live now for a few minutes. Let's have a look at Sky Sports transfer updates. Spurs signed teenager Soon-Suk Bell from Chelsea. That's an interesting one. Manchester United youngster tip for a Newport loan, asked. Arsenal targeting Russo or Brun. Arsenal came in yesterday with a rather large offer for Alessia Russo. Russo had a contract there in the season, which you can talk as women's football, so we'll move on. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, it's just that I thought it was Arsenal football men's team. Let's see, is there anyone? Oh, looks like that Leicester Madrid centre-back is primed to be announced as Nottingham Forest player, has arrived at the training ground for medical. Interesting. Felipe is at the... Liverpool signing. Dowie coming in from Reading. Natasha Dowie on loan from Reading for Liverpool's women's team. Strikers returns clubs who won back-to-back women's Super League titles within 2013 and 14. Doesn't look like there's too much going on here, does there? The big one, I suppose, is, let's have a little look at this. João Cancelo says his goodbye to Manchester City. It looks like that deal for Bayern Munich is now done. Interesting. Aston Villa, great loan deal, load of shite. Enzo Fernandez will miss Benfica's game tonight as Chelsea push to finalise a British record £105 million deal. But reports in Portugal claim star midfielder is now closer to staying in Lisbon. So I think the deal around the Enzo Fernandez stuff, obviously we all saw him in the World Cup, we all saw how brilliant he was, we all probably wanted Liverpool to try and sign him as well. The deal is quite expensive. It's more expensive than I thought it was going to be when I was watching him in the World Cup, that is for certain. Looks like it's going to be spread over 8.5 years, much like the Mudrick deal that Chelsea managed to get through the door before the rules are changed around financial fair play, which means in the summer those deals have to be spread over 5 years. Chelsea spreading these deals over 8.5 years. This could take their spending up to £650 million in the last few windows, which is absolutely mental. Todd Boehly doing his absolute level best to spend £1.25 billion on Chelsea, which was earmarked as part of the sale of Chelsea Football Club. So, I mean, as short a space time as possible, basically. Bit mad indeed. Let's see some of the comments here. The Cancelo one's interesting, is it? Did he have a bit of a falling out with Guardiola or something around the Arsenal game? Is that what this one is now thingy? But Enzo Fernandez, Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea are fucking hell, man. Chelsea are like the same as us. Roughly there or thereabouts in the Premier League with us. The form's not been anywhere near good enough. And they are just fucking going for it, aren't they? They're trying to turn this football club around with just dough after dough after dough on what looked like good player after good player after good player. Potter, my word, he has had some fucking backing, hasn't he? It's mental. Mental. I can't believe it, to be honest. Sander Berg wants Newcastle, but FFP are kicking in, apparently. There we go. Let's see that one. This is Andy Byrne, 50. Okay, not sure about that, but Sander Berg has been linked to moves away, so I've not heard anything. They're basically saying that Cancelo is one of the ones showing a lack of effort and desire, I think, says LFC Marlow again. Oof. Oh, here we go. Here he is. 746, we are cheap. It's as simple as that. And we've had a super chat. Thank you so much. $6.99 Canadian dollars. But looks for anyone knows how bad Salah has been this season. Controversial comment, but maybe it's time to cash in on Mo. Donald, thank you for the super chat. I think Mo has been a problem in that the team can't work him into space anymore. I did a deep dive on Mo Salah with Josh Williams about where his goals were from. And we're just not working him into space. And I don't think that Mo is the problem. I think Mo is a brilliant player and will score goals if you give him those opportunities. I just think because of the team struggles, we're not able, personally, Donald, to get him in to those positions that we want him in at the moment. And I think that's why we've had a little bit of a struggle there, to be honest with you. Let's have a look at some of the older ones, older comments here. Bacetic is a nice surprise that surely saves us 50 million plus on a DM. Him as first choice with Hendo Fab second choice. You'd like to think that saving can be spelled elsewhere. Like on a new central midfielder! Absolutely. A little bit of a funny comment here from John Cowell. Can we hijack Nottingham Forest bid for John Joe Shelby, please? Oh, God, we've done that. We don't want to do that anymore, but I know you're taking the piss, so it's absolutely fine. And LFC Marlow just jumping in on the Salah stuff. Salah's a victim of everything else not working, essentially. Absolutely. To think that everybody was laughing at Chelsea. Now look, says Andy Byrne, 50, absolutely. So there we go. Here we go. Here's somebody who wants to sell a load of players. Skyjacker said, we would like to sell Jota, Gomez. We should sell, sorry, Jota, Gomez, Ox, Cater and Henderson. Jota, no, not for me. Gomez, potentially. Ox, well, he's probably leaving. Kate is probably leaving. And Jordan Henderson. Could we get money for Jordan Henderson? It's an interesting one. We've had another super chat. Thank you so much to Asim Mahmood. Keep up the great work, Chris. Liking the cap too. They're now my second team, the Las Vegas Raiders. As I say, they go to see them in Las Vegas in that new stadium. Oh, my word. What a fucking stadium that is, by the way. It's fully indoors because it's in the middle of Las Vegas. So it's therefore in the desert. And it's fully air-conditioned, the whole stadium. Like, imagine how much money it costs to air-condition a room. Imagine how much money it costs to air-condition a 60 to 70,000-seater stadium. And it was glorious. Absolutely glorious. And Nelly was playing the halftime music, and it was brilliant. And I think Santana did a little bit beforehand. Because it's Vegas. And to get on how stupid they were, they did a fucking flyover. With the Jets and all that, like five-plane flyover. Did you hear what I said about it being a completely indoor stadium? Flyover, indoor stadium. Put it on the screen. completely pointless. May as well have just played a video of a flyover. But it's Vegas, so they never fools. But anyway, the boss. Who's winning the Super Bowl, Chris? I'm going Kansas City, says LFC Marlow. I would like Kansas City to win the Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes is absolutely superb. The likes of Chris Jones, obviously, defensive lineman, interior guy, absolutely superb as well. Frank Clark stepped up big time against the Bengals. But I do think it might be for the Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts' time. Mainly because I'm not sure that the high ankle sprain that's been holding Patrick Mahomes back in the last game and obviously put him out against the Jaguars in the divisional round, he's going to be back in time. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are just a better all-round team. There's a better defence than the KC one, led, of course, by Spags, Steve Spagnuolo. But yeah, I'd like KC to win, but I do think it's going to be Eagles. Daniel agrees with me. Eagles have it, as Daniel Levin. Okay, here's a good question for you. Back onto the footy. Only built for Cuban. How do you grade our activity within the transfer window? Wow. Don't take this the wrong way, because I do think that Gakpo is going to be a good signing for Liverpool. But I'm grading our activity this transfer window as a D. Now, the D is mainly because we haven't addressed the issues that quite clearly exist within the squad. So Gakpo, I think, is probably, right now, he's looking like a B-minus signing with the potential to get an A-plus grade at the end of the season or next season or whatever. And I do think he's going to work, I really do. I trust and hope that he will work. But for grading the window, we haven't done anything that we needed to do. And therefore, it's a D quite easily. We've got a grade out of 10 here from, I mean, Griffiths. He just says it's a 5 out of 10. Nukululenko Nguena. Sorry. This transfer window was a 1 out of 10 for me. If we somehow get Gallagher tonight, we shoot up to a 4 out of 10. Wow. Here's a good one as well. John Cale says, we really miss Bobby Firmino. Our attack looks lifeless. Agreed. LFC Marlow gives it a D as well. Philip Blundell gives it a 6 out of 10. And the winner, of course, is Skyjacker, who just says, what transfer window? Agreed, mate. Absolutely. And let's have a look at this one. Then we've got Maurice World, who says LFC flat on and off the field. We've had another super chat. Thank you so much, Donald. Another $6.99. Okay, but we've got Darwin, Gakpo, Diaz, Jota, Carvalho and Bobby. Sell Mo, use that money to revamp the midfield. In my opinion, Ox, Hendo, Milner, Naby all got to go. Listen, obviously, you know, you've got this thing with Mo at the moment and I can totally understand it. You know, he's not been playing well. Prior to the game at the weekend, he hadn't had a shot on target in the two previous games. But, and here's where I agree with you in some ways, and I'm not saying Liverpool should sell Mo. In fact, I'm categorically saying Liverpool shouldn't sell Mo Salah, just to be clear on this. But Liverpool do need, if their model is to sell to buy, Liverpool need to be better at selling footballers. So it could have been Mo 2 years ago. Could have been Mane 2 years ago, not at the end, for 30 million quid. We should have sold someone at 100 million quid. You know, whether that be Bobby, whether that be Mane, whether that be Mo, should have sold someone at that price, because that's what our model is. And we can't, as much as you might hate the model, and loads of Liverpool fans, I think, deservedly hate the model, you've got to sell if that is your model. And Liverpool just, Ox is going to walk away at the end of his contract. Kate is most probably walking away at the end of his contract. Milner's probably going to retire. Jordan Henderson looks like he's going the route of James Milner, so we'll get no money for him at the end of his career. Mo looks like he's here to stay at the moment and we're not going to get any money for him. Who are you selling to fund these players? Kate should have gone. He should have gone. Should have recouped some of that 50 million quid. The fella before, or lady before, said we should have sold Nat Phillips at the height. Absolutely, we should have sold Nat Phillips at the height. We probably should have sold Joe Gomez at the height when we thought about Canate and Matip and everything else. If we want to be B big and stay big and be brilliant at the top end, and our model is sell to buy, you've got to sell the players, and that might be short-term pain, but that's our model. So you do, I understand that, Donald, I completely agree with that. Maybe I don't think it should be Mo, and I don't, but Liverpool have to sell players when they're at the peak of the powers or when they're just about to go over. And Alex Ferguson was brilliant at that. He just sell them just as they were cresting the hill, and then they'd be gone. And that was how they stayed on the top for so long. Okay, let's have a little look here. If we can get Melo fit, he would be an asset as a quality player. Oh, my God, really? Couldn't get a game for Juventus? I don't know, man, I don't know. Rachel Todd, thank you so much for the super chat. I think Jordan Henderson will retire from football, absolutely. Let's have a look at somebody who agrees with me, disagrees with me, sorry, Andre. Disagree, you have to change the owners. Well, listen, the club is up for sale, if you believe it. Or certainly it's up for a minority shareholder, and I think the club's up for sale, full stop. If you want to change the model, I think you do have to change the owners. But it's not down to us to change the owners, unfortunately, is it? And King Wolf probably agrees with that one here. He says we seriously need new owners, and new owners would be with a model that isn't sell to buy. Absolutely, understand that. Let's have a little look-see here. Andy Byrne, can someone not wind the clock back and find another Stevie G? Wouldn't that just be glorious? It would be absolutely glorious. Another one here from Byron Groenewald. Chris, do you think the club was trying to get money for Keita and Ox last summer before they got injured in pre-season? I don't know. I'd like to hope so, but fucking hell, they fucked it up again. Subicus Akon says, true, Chris, if buying sells your model, you've got to do both parts of the model, and that's selling. I'd rather have one good player than two average ones. So there you go. I think that's probably about us, isn't it, today? So I think Paul's going to be back later on this evening. If there's absolutely no news, I'm sure he probably won't be back later on this evening. But thank you all for joining me so far. There's about 678 people watching live this fantastic Tuesday morning of deadline day 2023, the January transfer window. Paul Harris says, you still don't believe we need new signings? I've said consistently for the last year that Liverpool need new signings, Paul, but if you want to continue to slander me, you're more than welcome. It's not going to make any difference to my life whatsoever. Sanjay D says, if we need to sell to buyers at their height, then Alisson, Jota or Trent will have to be sold. Not Alisson, not Trent, Jota, maybe. So there you go. That has been our fan interactive show this January the 31st, deadline day 2023. Thank you so much for joining me on the Red Men TV. We've got a whole host of stuff going on this week. We've got another deep dive coming out on the YouTube channel on Thursday. Hopefully Paul will be back later on tonight. If anything does happen, there'll be a Red Men Reacts for that over on Red Men Plus as well. So thank you so much for joining me, and we'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.